Enchanted Sky Media.
This is Code 3, the podcast for firefighters. Now, here's your host, Scott Orr.
Thank you for joining me again this week. Safety on the fire ground extends past the burning structure itself. It includes taking care around the apparatus. Most rigs I've seen have a notice in the cab reminding the driver to use a spotter or a backer. That's good, but it's not all. Joining me this week is Mark van der Feist. He's been in the fire service since 1999 and is currently a full-time firefighter in Ontario, Canada. Mark is an international instructor, and he's also the lead author of the book Residential Fire Rescue. Mark van der Feist, welcome to Code 3.
Thank you.
You wrote an article on apparatus safety for FireRescue1.com. What prompted that?
Well, every month I do an article on something current within the fire service for my monthly column. And I was checking the headlines the one day while at work on one of the fire service websites and happened to come across what took place down there in Virginia with the firefighter being backed over. And so I thought that would be a good topic to discuss and write about for the month in terms of what can be done to avoid that as far as backing up and not killing another firefighter in terms of the line of duty death with being backed over.
Based on what we know about that accident, I'm assuming you're thinking it was 100% preventable.
I would have to say, based on my knowledge, that yes, that would be correct. Absolutely.
All right, then let's go over your four main safety points. Number one was use a spotter to back up safely while operating fire apparatus. This seems obvious, but I've seen engineers make the move without a spotter. How dangerous is it?
Well, as I write about there in that first point, every department, from what I've seen known in my travels around the country, speaking and teaching, has some kind of policy that dictates the required use of a spotter when backing a fire apparatus up, no matter how far they're going into the bay or down the street, but there must be a spotter being used. The importance of that is to ensure that when we're backing that truck up, that what the driver can't see with his mirrors is spotted by the spotter. And that spotter can then notify the driver right away by either hand signal or with a flashlight or something to let him know to stop. When there is no spotter, it is almost like a suicidal mission, because that driver, as good as he or she may be in terms of experience and years of driving and using their mirrors, will not see completely what's behind them. So they are, in essence, driving blind backwards, no matter how far they're going. It could be 5 feet, it could be 20 feet, but they're, in essence, driving blindly. And that's no different than an individual driving their vehicle at nighttime with their headlights turned off on a dark road. No different. You can't see.
Right. And I think it's a given that fire apparatus has a bunch of really large blind spots, even with the mirrors set correctly.
Absolutely. We see different types of fire trucks being in service these days, small, medium, large, tillers. They all have their blind spots. And as much as manufacturers, engineers try to remove those blind spots, there will always be a blind spot within that vehicle somewhere, somehow.
All right, you went on to say always operate fire apparatus at a safe speed. Again, that seems obvious, but the question is, what is a safe speed? Is that up to the driver to determine that?
Industry standards is usually backing up at idle speed. So the truck at idle speed will back up on its own slowly enough to accomplish the task. And I put that point in there because I have witnessed in many different places, department-wise, fire trucks being backed up at a very high rate of speed. It's almost like some kind of contest to see how fast can you back up and stop on a dime when, say, going back into the bay. So I have witnessed that. And I say industry standards because I know where I live and work in the province of Ontario, it is accepted practice that when you are backing up a commercial truck, and a fire truck is a commercial vehicle, when you're backing up a commercial vehicle, it is to be done at idle speed, which allows, like I say, a safety of cushion to stop quickly. It also allows people who are maybe in the area to get out of the way quickly enough, and allows the driver to react in a timely fashion.
All right, number three was use visual warnings to alert others on scene when moving fire apparatus. What do you mean here?
Well, again, kind of with the second point, most departments with their written guideline or written policy will state that when the vehicle is in reverse motion is to have all its warning lights on or four-way hazards, as well as a backup alarm, again, to help warn people that there's an apparatus or a fire truck moving backwards in their direction, and they to be aware of it. So when we are backing up a fire truck, we have those features at our disposal to use, safety ones, and the lights are not just there to warn others we're coming going forward, it's also to warn those that we're coming backwards as well, and more so for our guys, for our firefighters that are working on the scene. They will have the notification visually that there's a truck coming towards them. And as I mentioned in the under the second point, again, where I kind of live and work, our industry practice or industry standard is that when a commercial vehicle is in reverse, it has to have its four-way flashers on as a warning device to pedestrians and civilians that are operating around the back of the truck. There's been numerous instances where a commercial vehicle has been backing up and struck somebody, say a cyclist or a pedestrian, and the driver was at fault because his four ways were not turned on. Had his four ways been turned on, he would not have been as at fault per se than what he was found to be. So having the warning lights, the visual clues helps to warn people. And again, when there's a lot of noise on the fire ground, which can happen, whether it's a vehicle accident, the highway traffic, or whatever it might be, that could be drowning out the sound say a backup alarm, at least you can visually see it. And if we're aware of our surroundings, as we should be at all times in the fire ground, we should pick up those visual clues to tell us, hey, there's a truck coming our way.
And the final point was, use fire apparatus backup cameras to improve situational perspective. It seems as if this one would make a backer or a spotter unnecessary.
Well, you would think that, and certainly it's nothing new having this technology in our vehicles. We see them now being used in a lot of on-the-road vehicles for personal use. I just had a rental vehicle last week, and it had a nice backup camera on it as well. And certainly may think, well, that negates the use of a spotter, but cameras are deceiving, right? So just like our mirror on the left and right side has a little small message saying, you know, warning, objects may appear closer than what they may appear, because you're not getting a true visual picture. And with a backup camera, you're not getting that true visual picture, what's actually behind you, or in terms of distance behind you. So you may think you have lots of space, you got good clearance, but in fact, because of based upon the camera angle or the lens that's being used, you don't have that clearance or that distance. And so relying upon a camera as the only thing to use will be, again, a mistake. But using that camera in conjunction with a spotter is going to be a better approach, because now I can at least get a visual sense what's behind the truck. If I did lose sight of my spotter for some odd reason, I can maybe see in the video screen of where that spotter may have gone. So it's there to assist and aid, as opposed to being the only thing to use as a backup device.
It seems as if these ideas are all fairly basic things that people were taught at the beginning. So I'm curious why you feel that we need to have them repeated as a reminder. In other words, do you see these things happen on a routine basis when you're out on the fire ground?
Well, certainly, Scott, I'm sure if we were to take a poll across the fire service, we would find that the majority of our incidents that cause injuries or mistakes, or in this case, a line of duty death, usually fall back upon basic skills, the basics. And so, as you say, as basic as this may sound and as common sense as it may sound, and it's certainly instilled in the fire service from day one in recruit training when we're taught how to drive a fire truck, we're taught these basics. When you go through commercial truck driver training, it's the same thing. You're taught the basics. When you go through anything like that, you're taught the basics. And a lot of times, we as a human being, we tend to forget the basics, or we try to sometimes circumvent the basics. And by circumventing them, we take shortcuts and thinking we can save time, or, you know, because of my experience, or I've been doing this numerous times, it's not a big deal that, you know, to miss a step or to take a shortcut. But as we've seen through time, and we've been proven this, is that when we do take shortcuts and forget the basics, they do come back to haunt us and catch us off guard. And so being reminded of the basics is a good thing, because that's what keeps us going. That's what our job's about. We work upon the basics. And if we get those down in terms of skill proficiency and mastery of that skill, of a basic skill, and we build upon it, then we're going to have a better outlook for us down the road in both the safety factor and with also our operational capacity as well.
All right. Great advice. Great reminders. Mark Vanderfice, thank you for being my guest on Code 3 this week.
You're very welcome. Much appreciated. Enjoy my time.
His book is Residential Fire Rescue, and there's a link to order it on our website at code3podcast.com. Don't forget, the free Code 3 app for Android phones is available now. The link to download that is at the website as well. That's all for this edition. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with more. I'm Scott Orr, and until next week, we'll see you later.
Code 3 is a production of Enchanted Sky Media. To get in contact with us, visit code3podcast.com. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you should. Don't miss an episode. Find us at the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.